This is the son of PCJ. Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette McQuarrie and Keith Perrell.
Hello and welcome to the program. Coming up on the show today, we have something special for those who like to sing in the shower. You know what I mean. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, wait a second, we're familiar with shower radios, but this is a shower radio with a difference. Stay tuned because coming up, we'll tell you a little bit more about this radio and you'll be able to join me in the shower.
You in the shower? Oh, what a gruesome thought. Ay, ay, ay. Ah, scary stuff. Also on the program, we'll go back to 1959 with a special program called The Amazing World of Shortwave Radio. This was a special promotions program released as a 7-inch single. And what is interesting is the program still holds up.
And then for the rest of the show, we're going to be looking at the lighter side of radio with flips and blubs and blubs and blips.
Media Network Plus. Turn on, tune in, drop out, as Timothy Leary said.
As you may remember at the beginning of the show, I said that you will be joining me in the shower. I wasn't kidding. Right now, I'm actually standing right outside my bathroom door. Thank God this is radio, not television, because you'd be scared by the sight that you would see right now. So I'm going to go into the bathroom. And I really am in the bathroom. I'm going to turn the sink on, you see? And then I'm not going to flush the loo. We all know what the loo sounds like. So, why are we here? Well, I think I'll turn my shower on to get the water nice and hot. Here we go. There we go. A little cold. Oh, what's that noise? What's that noise that you hear? It sounds like Andy Williams singing. What is Andy Williams doing in my shower? Let me turn this off. Well, right now, I am looking at a fantastic little gadget called the H2O radio from Tango Group. And let me just turn it off. And basically what this is a shower radio, but a shower radio with a difference because, as you just heard a moment ago, I turned the water on and it came on. Yes, it's powered by the water pressure going through the shower. So if I do that, it turns on. Let me look for the station. Wrong button. There we go. There's one right there. It's a great kind of, you know, little gift to give someone. It comes from a company called Tango in the UK. Nothing to do with dancing. And in a few seconds, I'll be speaking to Vivian Blick, who is one of the people behind this fantastic little gadget. So I ask you to leave the bathroom right now so I can continue with my shower. So get out. Now. Come on, get out.
In the summertime, when all the trees and leaves are green and the redbird sings, I'll be blue, 'cause you don't want my love. Some other time, that's what you say when I want you.
Let's get on to this, you know, singing in the shower. Shower radios, of course, are nothing new. But there was always the problem with the batteries, and you've come up with an idea that is, if I can use the term, tapping into energy that already exists in the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly right, Keith. You know, we're always looking at ideas to say, okay, basically, how can we get some free energy? How can I get something for nothing or something from waste? So if you look at what solar panels are doing, you're getting sort of free energy, if you like, because it's coming from the sun. Or if you look at wind-up, you're getting, okay, it's not free energy, you've got to fuel your body, but it's not costing you anything out of your pocket. And the same with the shower-powered radio. So what we did there was to look at ways of using energy that's there anyway. And if you look at the shower radio, what you're doing, you're already paying for the water that's going through the shower, which ends up going down your drain. And what we're doing, we're tapping into that along the way and saying, okay, let's use that energy. We bought it, we paid for it from the utility company. It's sort of ours to do what we want with, and we're going to take a shower. But by the way, we can also get that water to drive a small turbine, which will create electricity, which will run a small radio in the shower. In fact, actually, it's not so small in terms of sound either, which is quite good. And so you end up having a radio in the shower with a system that never needs a battery to be replaced, so you never ever run out of music or news programs, and it's going to last you pretty well a lifetime.
Now, the radio itself is very small, and it's just one thing. Now, there are some people out there that are saying, oh, this is just a little gadget, but you have to actually look at the bigger picture of what and where you can get energy from.
Well, that's true. I mean, you could say this radio is quite frivolous. Nobody needs a radio in the shower. Nobody does. But saying that, nobody needs a radio, period. Nobody needs a TV set either. But we are used to that. We're used to getting information anywhere we are. So this radio solves a problem in that if you have a radio in the shower, which particularly in Europe, they're incredibly popular, you do end up having batteries that run flat. You don't change them because you're in the shower, so you're not going to hop out and go to the local supermarket buy new batteries. So you end up forgetting about it. The batteries corrode. The whole device gets thrown away after, you know, 6 months or a year. So this solves that problem. But as you say, the idea is also to think about what else can you do. Okay, so if we take it one step further, let's think about every time you flush your toilet, every time you take a bath, you use the washing machine, the dishwasher. They're all using water on demand, and every time that water flows to an appliance, it's possible it could flow through a turbine and we could use that energy to create electricity.
Do you see a time, because a lot of people are talking, of course, there's cars that are running on fusion and everything, do you see a time when, for example, water from the bathroom or the washing machine or from doing the dishes can be stored into a tank that through fusion can be used to produce energy at home? Do you see that time coming?
I think we're, to be honest, I'd like to say yes, but the reality is I think we're quite a long way away from that yet. But what we are doing is getting people's mind to open up. Because we've been, as consumers, as users, whatever, we've been narrowly focused in terms of, well, we can plug it in, we can put batteries into it, whatever. Well, that's, you know, sooner or later, we're going to run out of oil to create the energy that we need to run those turbines to power everything in a house. And if you look at how many appliances you plug into the typical household today compared to, say, just 20 years ago, let alone 40 years ago, and we're just growing, you know, we've got sockets, you know, every meter around most properties now. So it's going to come a point where we just won't be able to plug everything else in. We've got to start thinking a little bit more alternatively about how we use power and how we create it. I wish we could create enough energy from, you know, these simple ideas, but I think we're quite a way away from that at this time. But hopefully we're stimulating the thought process that we may see that leap forward from, you know, some of the eminent scientists in the world today.
So it sounds like your hope is that somebody out there will get this radio, see it, and come up with an even better idea.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's a fantastic way to go. What we've done is not difficult. It's not complicated. But nobody else has done it before. Not unlike what Trevor did sort of 15 years ago. What Trevor did was not clever, was not complicated, but it had not been done before. And when people saw it and they said, oh, that's clever. I could have done that. But the point is always, nobody does. And the same will be true on the next stage of technology. It will be, I could have done that, but it takes someone to actually think through that openly and with an open mind and say, well, I will do it. And then, yeah, then things can really start to move. But we're still quite narrowly focused at this time.
Let's get back to the radio for a moment. There are some people I know right now are saying to themselves, okay, I finished my shower, I then turn the water off, I'm going to brush my teeth and quaff my hair and do whatever else they have to do. The radio turns off. Does it?
Well, no, because what it does, we are quite frugal people in terms of there's more energy flowing through your shower than you actually need to run the radio. So what we do two things. First of all, we run the radio, but secondly, we harvest any excess energy and we store that in a small rechargeable green-style battery so that when you finish the shower, you turn off the faucet, you turn off the tap. Basically, you can carry on listening to the radio for a while afterwards. Because you've created or you've stored more energy than you actually need just for listening to the radio in the shower. Now, how long you listen to depends on how long you're in the shower, how high the volume was, and how quick your water flow rate was. So it's not exactly, I can't give you an exact answer, but typically the average user will get, you know, for every sort of 5 minutes of showering, they get another minute or so that they can listen to the radio outside of the running, without running water.
One thing that I found unique about this, and I've had this discussion with people, and they say, you know, some people will say, and I've heard this, oh, I'm only taking a 6 minute shower. Oh, maybe today I'll only take an 8 minute shower. But that's you. But if you take, say, 5,000 people or more, a couple of million people, that's a lot of water.
Well, that's a good point, Keith, because if you imagine most showers, most modern showers are running at something like, roughly, around about 10 litres per minute, or let's say roughly two sterling gallons per minute, 10 litres per minute. Well, that's a huge amount of water. You're in there for 5 minutes. That's 50 litres. You multiply that by everyone on the planet, that's a huge amount of water we're going through. And just 1 minute less has a huge impact. Not for one person, but if everyone thinks the same way, then that has a major impact.
You know, I was discussing with a friend of mine the other day, because I have a large amount of radios at home. And first of all, it's my profession, and I just love all types of radios. And he said to me one time, he said, God, when I go over to your house, the only place I can have relief from radios is the bathroom. And I said to him, think again.
That's good news.
Vivian, thank you very much for taking some time out to talk to us today. I've already have an idea of what I'm going to get for some stocking stuffers this year. If you want more information on it, stay tuned. We'll give out the web link later where you can get more information, as well as some retailers around the world that you can order the radio. Vivian, thank you very much.
Thank you, Keith.
You're listening to Media Network Plus. Shortwave radio listening in the 50s was different than it is today. Or was it? The Hollicrafters Company, which at one time was one of the major leaders in shortwave radio, in 1959 released a single called The Amazing World of Shortwave Radio. What is interesting is most of the program still applies today. We'll now take a listen to the full program.
This is the sound of adventure, and I am Alex Dreyer, your man on the go, here to escort you on a most unusual trip around the fabulous, fantastic world of shortwave radio. Through the facilities and cooperation of the Hollicrafters Company, world's most respected name in communications, this limited edition recording will bring you a new dimension in history, in current events, in excitement and drama, the likes of which you may never before have experienced. So please turn on your imaginary shortwave set and join me now as we scan the bands for the voices of adventure, new words and new sounds, from outer space to Little America, from aircraft pilot to rock and roll. From a fishing boat captain to genuine Italian opera. Every sound authentically reproduced directly from actual shortwave broadcasts you might have heard in your own living room on a Hollicrafters shortwave receiver. For instance, here is an event that made the front pages of newspapers all over America last year, the dramatic capture of a desperate criminal named Richard Carpenter, who had shot a policeman in Chicago, Illinois. Through a sixth sense, known only to the best of newsmen, a field reporter literally was on the firing line with police during the capture, relaying the entire proceeding with a mobile shortwave transmitter. Listen closely now, and you'll hear the actual gunfire and the excitement that follows.
Those were the shots in front of 2048 Potomac. They have him up there now. The police are all crouched behind the cars. You can hear them firing at him now. Is he on the roof or is he in the building? He's in the third floor of the building. Is it Carpenter? It's Carpenter. Time is 11 minutes after 9.
They've got him.
They've got him. They're bringing him out now. They're taking him out now. Get out of the way, will you? Get out of the way. There's a terrific crowd around him. The police are trying to make a cordon around this man while they lead him away. The street is full of people. The police are walking here. I'm next to an officer with a submachine gun pointed in the air.
Of course, incidents like that don't occur on shortwave every night, thank goodness. On the other hand, you can tune in on the regular police broadcasts, and they make pretty exciting listening. You've heard it said that the only way to learn a foreign language is to live in a foreign country. Well, maybe so. But if someone in your family is a language student, the next best thing is shortwave radio. Twist the dial a few times any night, and a linguistic paradise is yours. In fact, every language spoken by man. Spanish.
Voy a cantar el himno, qué rica bendición.
Magnífico, Loida. Es un himno muy adecuado para cantarlo en este programa.
French.
Une âme et mon âme surabonde. Nous verrons l'or et l'azur. Les ciels glacés dessinent la vraie lumière.
German.
Rudolf Stockhaus, Ringen, Bartons.
And if you want a new twist on American jazz music, you might tune in your helicopter's receiver to something like this.
Der junge Rock'n'Roll-Star, eine eigene Komposition.
Whether time is critical to your business or you're merely fussy about details, shortwave will bring you the National Bureau of Standards WWV exact time report periodically, 24 hours a day.
National Bureau of Standards WWV. When the tone returns, Eastern Standard Time is 8:55 p.m.
Everywhere we turn, we read about this modern air age of ours that thrives on a pace we earthlings can scarcely imagine. But with a helicopter's shortwave receiver, it's a simple matter to get in tune, so to speak, with the men who live in the stratosphere, the pilots, and the tower control men who guide them. And here's just a sample.
Miami Air Force 17, Manor 7, that is affirmative. Air Force 12678, over.
Air Force 17, Manor 97, for Air Force 12678, Miami. Roger, thank you.
And here are some voices that were heard literally around the world not long ago when a group of radio amateurs aboard a globe-circling military plane talked to hundreds of amateur stations during Operation Worldwide.
W8OLJ Aeronautical Mobile, QRZ, this is Operation Worldwide. Around the world flight on military air transport plane C-54, 50564, calling CQ, calling CQ, calling CQ.
Yugoslavia calling, why you unable to, simply nice to hook up with you there from that worldwide operation you have. The name here is Mirko, Mike Ida, Roger King Ocean, M-I-R-K-O, Mirko is the name and location is Belgrade, of course.
The YU-1AD, W-8OLJ. Okay, fine, Mirko. This is the FBM-200 is the transistorized helicopter transceiver. W-8AW, are you still on there? W-8AW, go ahead.
Back to Earth again. Down on the Gulf Coast, even a landlubber like me gets advance notice when the tuna fleet is coming home, if the wind's in the right direction. Fortunately, the canneries have much more accurate data, thanks to the modern miracle of powerful shortwave radio telephones above the boats. Most every night, you can pick up conversations like this.
I'm trying to do that. I mean, you could probably get a piece of inch, and get it in there, and then you'd have to weld it pretty tight on the end of your drum to hold it to keep it from rattling around in there.
Fortunately for mankind, the sort of language you'll hear next is spoken infrequently, and America will not forget that it was spoken even once. On the 2nd of September 1958, Soviet jet fighters over Armenia shot down in cold blood an unarmed U.S. military transport plane, apparently having lured it over the border with fake radio beams. Its fate might never have been known, except for the alertness of shortwave monitors who actually tape-recorded the voices of Russian flyers taking part in the slaughter. Listen and remember. And if you've tired of Westerns on TV, try the shortwave bands any evening for a different kind of live dramatic fare, direct from Laos or Lucerne or London.
How many times have you seen Morrison and the deceased man talk together?
I did not take notice exactly, but 2 weeks before the crime, he was too much friendly with him. I saw him every night when I came from my work.
You gave evidence at the police court?
Yes.
Did you say this? I had known the prisoner about 2 months. He was friendly with Baron about 2 weeks before he was murdered. I have seen them a couple of times talking together. Is that correct?
In the United States alone, there are more than 185,000 amateur radio stations. They are operated by doctors, scientists, mechanics, even housewives, ordinary folks with a boundless curiosity, a spirit of adventure, and an urge to know and understand and help their fellow man. In times of disaster or emergency, in wartime or peacetime, radio amateurs provide a lifeline of communications where no other can exist. Recently, for example, a man in Evanston, Illinois, answered his telephone one evening and to his utter astonishment found himself talking to his brother at the South Pole. The conversation relayed by local radio amateur Marvin Eichhorst. Listen.
Well, I was just wondering, what if you could tell me something about the camp life down at the South Pole in... By the way, how's your weather conditions down there, Carl? It's on the mild side here in Chicago. Come in, please.
First, I will start off and say, well, I am about, I'm better than 10,000 miles there from Chicago, down here at Low America. And Low America is located about a mile and a half or 2 miles inland. It's located on Keenan Bay on the Ross Ice Shelf. On the Ross Ice Shelf. And we're on ice here. We're on ice that is about 800 feet thick. And the ocean measures about 2,000 feet deep under that.
And even on the amateur bands, the mind of woman is as wonderful and mysterious as ever.
Stay down there on Sanibel. Over.
We stay at a perfectly wonderful place called the Island Inn, which we love dearly, and I think you would like it also. It's very simple. You wear shorts all day and then maybe wear a cotton dress at night. We get up around 8. We go to bed around 9. Over.
Well, it just sounds divine.
As man's horizons broaden, not merely to other lands, but to other worlds, his communications lifeline must broaden too. For without communication, man would be totally lost in this universe. On the 11th of November, 1935, a United States Army balloon established a world altitude record of 73,395 feet into the stratosphere. Its name, Explorer 2. Shortwave receivers for the home were virtually unknown then. Otherwise, you could have heard this amazing three-way shortwave conversation between the late Captain Edwin C. Music, world-famous airline pilot, Captain A.W. Stevens aboard the balloon, and a newspaper reporter in London, England.
Can you hear me all right?
Oh, yes, perfectly.
How's everything going?
Well, everything's going all right. We're going down now. The altitude that we have at the present time is less than 30,000 feet now.
Hello, Captain Stevens.
Hello.
This is the Daily Telegraph, London.
This is Explorer 2.
Congratulations to you and Captain Anderson on your great achievement.
Thank you very much, sir. We're descending now a little too fast, and we're putting out ballast.
Oh, dear.
So I'll have to sign off, I believe, and get back to our duties. Thank you very much.
Hello, Captain Stevens.
Yes?
Just one more word. What about that rip in your balloon?
What about it?
Yes, what happened?
Well, we fixed it. It was a rent about 17 feet long.
Was it really?
Listen, you'll have to excuse me because we got to get busy.
I hardly need add that man's progress in the quarter century since that historic event has been fantastic. The name of that gas-filled spaceship and the statistics are remarkably significant today. For in December of 1958, a new American Explorer, Explorer 4, was launched. And from a height of not 14, but nearly 1,000 miles, you could have heard on a shortwave receiver the most dramatic message of hope and faith in modern history. The voice of the President of the United States, President Eisenhower. From outer space to Timbuktu, from pilot to sea captain, from overseas news to music in Rio de Janeiro, the great events of history and excitement of the moment are yours with the twist of a dial. You're in tune with the world, the amazing world of shortwave radio with a Hallicrafter's receiver.
You know, Paula, this is the time of year, of course, when a lot of people may party too much. And I think that, you know, you and I can say that, you know, we've been guilty of that. Could you?
I guess so.
Well, the worst kind of person that can have too much of a great time the night before is somebody who is going to go on the air and read news, because it may not be pretty. And it's a good thing that it's radio and not television.
The government is refusing to comment on the allegations. Japan's Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi has apologised for World War II atrocities committed by his country. The Prime Minister has made this statement during a summit of Asian and African leaders in Jakarta. Japan's Foreign Ministry spokesman Akira Shiba says his country is committed to moving forward.
You know, Paulette, I certainly wouldn't want to be the person that had to go into the studio to clean up the mess.
That would be a pretty gruesome job.
Now, staying in Australia, there is another, well, you can say, downside to drinking. Paulette, do you have an idea what that can be?
Not at all.
What about hiccups? I see I'm having it right now. Oh, that's very messy indeed. Yeah, we're both having it. But imagine, I think you had another glass of wine. But of course, if you have the hiccups on the air, you have to be a true professional like this woman did and make it through the story.
3AW 693 News.
15 degrees in Melbourne, a shower or two today, a top of 19, it's 3 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Kate Wilson. Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi has urged his supporters not to believe the lies he says are being told about what's happening in their country. He's again blamed Al-Qaeda for the violence which has spread across Libya and threatens his regime. Gaddafi was speaking in front of supporters at a ceremony to mark 34 years of his country's people power style of government.
Now the Victorian News, read by Ian Blakey. The inquest into the Southern Aurora rail smash was told in Melbourne today that the driver of the express, Mr. John Bowden, was dead before the accident. The senior Victorian government pathologist, Mr. James McNamara, said Bowden, aged 52, of Wodonga, had died from heart failure and not from his injuries. The pathologist said it was impossible to say how long before the crash that Bowden had died. He said that it was possible that he remained seated in the same position without anyone else being aware that anything else was but alive. The city coroner, Mr. Pascoe, is holding inquests on 9 people who died when the Southern Aurora and a goods train crashed head-on near the northern Victorian town of Violet Town on February the 17th.
We regret this interruption to the news. It will be continued in a moment.
The BBC is one of the most respected international broadcasters in the world. And I think, like you, I enjoy watching when they have real big screw-ups on the air like this batch.
We have the latest on the Labour MP thrown out of Parliament after filling her erection expenses. Did I say erection? I didn't.
Business news for the moment. Riz.
Thank you very much, Rob. I'm back with a look at the weather, with the headlines, after a look at the weather with Rob McKell. Well, we...
offer autonomy to the French National Assembly has adopted, must approve the measures before a constitutional review. I'm sorry, this story is absolute nonsense. I'll continue with some headlines for you.
The Mirror, have we got? Yes, the Mirror Victory. That, I don't know what that. I haven't actually got that front page in front of me. The Times has the news that. I'm afraid I can't read that either. The Independent I have got here, which is. We haven't got the Independent up there. This system isn't terribly helpful, really. I think I'll just leave it there.
Pigeons in Nottingham are in need of protection from a very expensive artwork. A giant mirror that reflects the sky is to be unveiled in the centre of Nottingham later today. The mirror was apparently capable of focusing the sun's rays and roasting any unfortunate birds that happened to be flying past.
Now that certainly puts a whole new perspective on pheasant under glass.
Ay, 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 ay.
That was my first thought. Wow. You know, Keith, we should take a few minutes to talk about a new series that will debut on PCJ in January of 2012. Many listeners have written in saying that we don't focus enough on DXing. So we've decided to fix this by having a new weekly show that will only talk about DXing. The new series will be produced and presented by Ian McFarland, formerly of Radio Canada International, and Jonathan Marks, formerly of Radio Netherlands Worldwide. They'll be joined every week with Arnie Coro, host of DXers Unlimited on Radio Havana, Cuba, and Glenn Hauser from World of Radio. Weeks before the pilot was recorded, there was lots of discussion on the name of the show. Well, the reality is no one could agree on the name. So it was finally decided to call it SWL Media DXers Network Digest World Unlimited of Radio. So, we now bring you to the pilot from the new series.
Hello everyone, I'm Ian McFarland, and welcome to a new series of shows that I've put together with some of my broadcasting colleagues. Now, since we couldn't agree on a name, we decided to call it SWL Media DXers Network Digest World Unlimited of Radio. And for this first show, I'd like to introduce my co-host and my very good friend, Jonathan Marks. Jonathan?
Hello, I'm Jonathan Marks. Now time for some film music. First up, Southeast Asia. And what is happening in that part of the world? With Victor Gunatelica joining us... on the line from Sri Lanka. Victor?
Well, Jonathan, as you can see...
What are you doing? Stop playing this music. Right, I'm Jonathan Marks. We now go back to Ian McFarland. Ian?
Thank you, Jonathan. On the new series, we would also like to mention that the old foes of Glenn Hauser and Arnie Coro have decided to put together their differences to do a weekly open forum chat about radio. So guys, whenever you're ready, take it away.
Hello, this is Charlie Oscar 2 Kilo Kilo Arnie Coro, your friend in Havana, and I would like to introduce my personal good friend, Mr. Glenn Hauser.
Hi, everyone. Standard disclaimer. I am very excited to be here today with you, Arnie.
So am I, Mr. Radio Expert.
Arnie, what do you mean by that?
Well, you always make personal attacks against me and Radio Havana, Cuba.
You always jam my show. What do you want me to do?
What, do you want to fight about this? How dare you say that to me? I can crush you with one of my fingers.
take your finger and...
You listen to me, Glenn. You take that.
Oh.
And that.
Oh.
And that.
Oh.
And that.
Oh. Arnie, don't force me to do this. I have got a gun. And I have it loaded. And I will shoot at will at anyone who upsets me.
You try to do that, you Mr. Glenn Hauser, radio expert. Ow! Eee! Ooh! Ow! What are you doing to that radio? Don't touch it!
Ha ha ha! I've got you now! Everyone, this is Ian McFarlane back with you. I apologize for that. Seems that the differences are not put aside that easily. But Mr. Hauser and Mr. Coro have decided to work on a song together to work out their differences. So guys, whenever you're ready, take it away.
Come on, Glenn, let us put our differences aside. No more nitpicking, let's do this song together, okay?
Okay, Artie. I'll try my best. I have no rhythm.
Don't underestimate yourself, Glenn. Here we go! They call me Cuban Pete. I'm the king of the rumba beat. When I play my maracas, I go chick-chicky-boom, chick-chicky-boom. Yes, sir, I'm Cuban Pete. Arnie Coro is my name. And I go and I dance and I chick-chicky-boom, chicky-boom, chicky-boom. Glenn, to you!
Okay. I'm excited. It's true. With Arnie Coro, we are one but two. We have our differences, but it doesn't matter. We all care about the same thing. I'm Mr. Glenn Hauser, and Arnie Coro's my thing.
Ha! You see, Glenn, it is very simple. Yeah! Chicky-boom, chicky-boom, chicky-boom. Boom, chicky-boom, chicky-boom, ba-boom, boom, ba-doom. My name is Arnie Coro. I'm your friend in Havana. My name is Arnie Coro. Charlie Oscar 2 Kilo Kilo, ha ha!
Arnie, should be my turn next. I really want to sing another part of the song. I'm getting very excited. Let's cha cha, oh ho, ha ha. Yes, oh yes, ha ha, hee hee, ho ho, ha ha ha.
Okay, Glenn, let's just swing it, ha ha ha! Chicky boom, chicky boom, chicky boom, chicky boom, chicky boom, chicky boom.
And that's a new series from PCJ Radio that will air in January. Hopefully, Arnie and Glenn haven't had too many injuries from battling it out. A few weeks ago on the program, Paulette, we aired, which is probably, I have to say, one of the strangest interviews that I've ever done. Now, technically, Paulette and I should not be here today. I'm not going to say who it's from, but I think you'll get a pretty good idea when you listen to this.
Hello, how may I help you?
I tune to Family Radio a number of times via shortwave from your relay exchange that you have with Radio Taiwan International.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious about something because Mr. Harold Camping called for the end of the world October 21st, but yet a week before, or rather even 2 weeks before, Family Radio put out their new B-11 schedule for the next 6 months. Why?
We're still here, as you can see.
Yeah, but if the end of the world was coming, why would you have put that schedule out?
Well, sir, we're still here, and life is going on until he actually comes, okay?
Uh-huh.
So, and but, I don't have any other statement.
But my question is still, why would the schedule be put out 6 months before, 2 weeks before, for the next 6 months?
I don't have answer to your question, sir.
You don't?
Right.
Well, one final question. Is a prediction like this going to be made again in the future?
I don't have answer to your question, sir.
You don't have an answer. Is there somebody at Family Radio that does have an answer?
No, sir, we don't.
Really? And what about for all the people that donated money to Family Radio?
Well, we can deal with them directly, okay?
But will money be returned to them?
sir. We will deal with them directly.
But it will my question is, will money be returned to them?
If they contact us, we will deal with them directly.
But that's not my question. My question is not will you deal with them, is will money that, let's say, was donated to Family Radio be returned to these people?
We will deal with them directly, sir.
But that's not the question that I was asking.
But that's my answer, sir.
Is that because you are not in a position to answer this?
I don't have any comments. I don't have any answer to you, okay?
Well, can you transfer me to somebody who does know?
We don't have anyone here.
Nobody at all, not even from the public relations department?
Oh, yes. We don't have public relations available for
them. Is there somebody in the program distribution department?
No, sir. We don't have anyone at all.
Nobody?
Yes.
So that means if I was to show up at your address in Oakland, California, at this very moment, there would be nobody there.
I'm saying we don't have anyone on the phone to talk to you regarding this subject.
Right, but I'm not asking about that now. I'm asking about the frequency department.
Sir, I think I answered your question. We don't have anyone at this moment to talk to you. We don't have any of those departments you were asking for to talk to you, okay? This is just material line, and that's the only line which is open at this time, okay?
Well, do you have the phone number to the main office?
This is main office.
Right, so you're saying that there's nobody there?
Sir, I'm saying nobody here to answer your question.
Okay, but let's say I had a different topic.
Thank you for calling, sir.
That's right. It was, of course, with someone from Family Radio that put out broadcast schedules, even though the world was about to end a week later.
Okay, well, that was odd enough. But then there was the Rupert Murdoch hacking scandal. And you did something about that, too.
Oh, that was really odd. You know, I decided, you know, I feel sorry for Rupert. You know, I think when he appeared in front of the British Parliamentary Commission to look into the scandal, he needed, you know, to have some way to really express how he feels. Because, you know, Paula, you know, sometimes these bigwig guys, you know, they're always, you know, they're just talking, everything that's coming out of their mouth is just what the lawyer is telling them, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I thought, you know, it would be a good idea. You know, he's Australian, and I think the best way for him to speak to the members of the commission would be through song. So we brought him along to the studio, and he only knew one song.
Well, which song was that?
Well, it was a song that was famously made by Rolf Harris called Tie My Kangaroo Down Sport. So Rupert Murdoch went into the studio and recorded it especially for us. Anyway, here's the story of an old Australian who was lying. Boy, was he ever. Anyway, he gets himself up onto one elbow, he turns to his editors and staff who are gathered around him, and he says, "Watch me newspapers bleed, me. Watch me newspapers bleed. They're a dangerous breed, mate, so watch me newspapers bleed all together now. Tie me kangaroo down, Spot. Tie me kangaroo down. Tie me kangaroo down, Sport. Tie me kangaroo down. News International's falling. It's falling into the ground. Because of all the hacking, we're falling into the ground altogether. Tie me kangaroo down, Sport. Tie me kangaroo down. Tie me kangaroo down, Sport. Tie me kangaroo down. We hacked politicians. We hacked children too. I wonder what we're thinking. We must be a mound of big poo all together now. Tie me kangaroo down, Spot. Tie me kangaroo down. Tie me kangaroo down, Spot. Tie me kangaroo down. News of the world is rubbish. The sun has got big boobs. I wonder what we'll do now. I think I'll take the big boobs all together now. Tie me kangaroo down, Spot. Tie me kangaroo down. Tie me kangaroo down, Spot. Tie me kangaroo down. Editors are being arrested. They might be going to jail.
I wonder if I ever get my turn. There's Dean Summers bitch in jail altogether now. Tiny kangaroo down, Spot. Tiny kangaroo down. Tiny kangaroo down, Spot. Tiny kangaroo down.
We are losing respect. Oi. We are losing control. I wonder if we'll ever get through this. Oh, we're losing respect and control.
Tiny kangaroo down, Spot. Tiny kangaroo down. Tiny kangaroo down, Spot. Tiny kangaroo down.
I am so, so, so sorry. Oh, yes, I am. I know you don't believe me. Not at all. Oh, piss off, bastards. I've got Fox News and Bill O'Reilly's my friend all together now.
Tiny kangaroo down, Spot. Tiny kangaroo down. Tiny kangaroo down, Spot. Tiny kangaroo down.
Well, Keith, it's all very well and good to laugh at other people having difficulties in front of the mic.
I know, but it's so much fun. We could laugh at them and go, ha, ha, nobody will hear us.
Yeah, right.
Why, what did you have in mind?
Well, we haven't exactly been perfectly competent behind the mic every single minute of our recording sessions either, have we?
Well, I don't know what you've been up to. I know I've been an angel.
Shortwave always had to adjust its programming around propagation. The entertainment commercial sponsor model drove the train. News and information were secondary except in times of crisis. That's going to go in the bloopers, I hope.
Wild, W-I-L-D, this past summer changed its format and accepted money from the Chinese Communist Party to switch over to a China... before we announce who the winner is of that ATS and a poop shoebox. Okay. Exactly.
talk about ruining somebody's fun.
Now we should mention, then it's over to you.
Hmm? Oh, sorry. Okay.
And you didn't give your name.
Okay. Well, at the risk of being laughed at, Keith, I'll just... This is... No. That's not going to work either. Okay. Well, at the risk of being laughed at, Keith, I'm going to say farewell from Paulette Macquarie on foggy, cold, damp West Coast Canada from Vancouver, BC.
My God, can you...
That was really bad, wasn't it?
Oh, that was funny. That was funny.
That was really awful, though. Media Network Plus, high on frequency and low on bandwidth. Is that silly enough for you? The Swiss Broadcasting Corporation, SBC, has reported a loss for 2010 of 12.3 million
Swiss francs.
I was going to say Swiss francs. Okay.
All right, and that was just some of the outtakes from Media Network Plus, the 55 and 30-minute edition that you can hear worldwide on the World Radio Network, Sirius XM, Sky Digital, as well as other distribution points. You know, Paulette, I have to make note one of these days, after we finish with something, delete the file.
Good idea.
Except for the ones involving you and the clanging glasses in the background.
Now, you have a distinct advantage over me. That is not fair.
Are you afraid that we're giving the audience an impression that you're a little bit like Dean Martin?
I'm afraid that you are.
Anyway, friends, with that, we've come to the end of this edition of the program. We'll see you at the end of January for another 55-minute edition of Media Network Plus, heard right here on this great partner station. So for me, Keith Perron in Taipei, Taiwan.
And me, Paulette Macquarie in Vancouver, Canada.
We all wish you a very Merry Christmas.
And a very Happy New Year.
So this is Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over. And you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas. I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young, a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear.
So strong, the rich and the poor ones, the world is so long, and so happy Christmas.
You're listening to station PCJ, the International Shortwave Station, being on the air twice a week for the Western Hemisphere, on Tuesday night and on Friday night. We hope you enjoyed our today's diversified program, and we are requesting you to kindly write in and tell us about your observations. All letters and cards and reports will be answered as soon as possible. Not only personally we will answer you before the microphone, but in due time, we send you an official verification, the QSL station card of PCJ. Will you write in today? All right, do it now. Thank you.
Op een tram te wachten, ik zag je in de verte staan, toen keek ik je aan.